Welcome to Stories from Chosun, the audio version of the House of Chosun blog posts available at chosunhouse.com. Today, The Beast from the Sea. Believers must feel nervous when yet one more brother attempts to describe what some feel is unknowable information. I feel nervous myself about the incredible ignorance displayed by persons with unworthy motives. They seek to dazzle or entertain, but regardless of the foolishness abounding in books and video and internet, the mystery before us is still beckoning to be solved. The Lord Himself has told us that herein is wisdom. Persons of understanding, He says, should know what these things are about. Revelation 13 and 17 provide a basic profile of the last-day world ruler, known generally today as Antichrist. In the Scriptures, he's more often called the Beast, or the Man of Sin, or the Little Horn. There's actually a lot of biblical content that points his way, but we'll confine today's comments to the verses mentioned, Revelation 13 and 17. Here are some no-doubt facts that we can glean, and once you establish facts, no one can come your way with off-the-wall suggestions about this or that man or this organization. First, he comes from the sea, it says in 13:1. Not like his partner of the latter half of the chapter, who has a normal earthbound existence. He comes, this first one, from below, from the pit, according to 17. Chapter 17, I'll not be surprised if he literally makes an entrance from the sea, just as the text says. These two passages, together with 2 Thessalonians 2, let us know that he's now being held back by a restrainer, a restraining angel. When he's released, he must find a way to get to the land. God says his entrance will be by signs and wonders. His seven heads are equated with seven mountains. Chapter 17. Both of these symbols speak of empire, political leadership. The traditional interpretation, and I have nothing better at this point, is to simply point to the seven world empires that history and scripture enumerate: Egypt, Babylonia, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and that coming ten-nation confederation that rises out of Rome. On each of these mountains has at one time sat a despot who hated the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He persecuted, enslaved, and or tried to annihilate the people of God. I'm thinking of Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Sennacherib, Epiphanes, Antiochus Epiphanes, Xerxes, Trajan. These are possible entries for the candidacy. The ten crowned horns, next, represent the final rule of a man of sin in 13:1 and 2. He'll incorporate aspects of former kingdoms, but he'll be different in his full devotion to and filling with the evil spirit of Satan. The final world ruler has already lived and reigned. He was mortally wounded and was held by spiritual angelic powers behind the scenes, being held right now, and he'll be revealed when the time is right to continue Satan's quest for world power. Hence, it is fruitless to guess his identity among the sons of men. He's invisible now. The only way to know who he is to know the history of anti-God rulers. Most of it, if not all, of these men are alluded to in Scripture, maybe even mentioned by name, as I have already pointed out. So the simple-minded lovers of God will know the truth, not the erudite theologians and thinkers and scholars. You see, it's in the book. He'll be characterized by blasphemy. His name will be blasphemous. He'll constantly, openly blaspheme heaven, and the world will worship him for it. That's called political correctness, you know. His blasphemous name, when taken a letter at a time and calculated using numerical equivalents for each letter, as you can do in some languages like Greek, you do all that, it's going to add up to 666. I have not yet been able to crack that code. But I believe God wants us to know, so I will continue to seek. Many have devised ingenious plans of calculation, and it seems that many historical names add up to 666. No matter. We start with the facts. The ones that we already have, we don't let any of them go. Fact is, as I stated, he's already reigned and won't be back until he reigns again. Now that knocks out most of the numerical guesswork. There's much more, but the above should suffice to whet your appetite. For me, I've come close to settling on Antiochus Epiphanes, since Daniel's 11th chapter seems to point that way. And Epiphanes is a blasphemous word when applied to anyone but God. It means a divine manifestation. Another candidate could be that Assyrian ruler Sennacherib, who was killed with a sword. The story's in your Bible. And the sword part points to a phrase in Revelation 13 that says the original head of the beast was wounded with a sword. No, I don't have all the answers on this. I'm confident of the bulleted parts, the parts I read earlier, 1, 2, 3. And I'm equally confident that anyone who will dig for these treasures will find them and be so far ahead of the crowd that has to keep saying over and over what their denomination says or what they learned as a child. It's been my custom lately to say a word about North Korea in every piece I write. Today's thought is pretty easy. The coming world ruler will feel just a bit familiar to the North Koreans. Hatred of God, hatred of Christians and Jews, torture, torments, isolation, demand for worship. Yeah, look to NK for a picture of what the entire planet will one day experience. Thank God it'll be the last of Earth's experiences before the true ruler comes and brings peace and joy and the liberty of the sons of God. Oh, Jesus, come. Thanks for your interest in North Korea and the scriptures today. Visit us at chosenhouse.com for more information about North Korea and the Word. Be sure to check the sermon audio site that you're on right now for other Bible teachings. And North Korea things can be found here and on ezinearticles.com and helium.com. Yes, North Korea needs Jesus, and we need Jesus, and we need His Word. Let's pray that God will have His way in our hearts and in North Korea. God bless you today.